verses 31. I'm not, excuse me, it was 33 through 37. Okay, that was Sunday's beginning in verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to our ancestors, you must not break your oath, but you must keep your oaths to the Lord. But I tell you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, because it is God's throne, or by the earth, because it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black. Do not, but let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more than this is from the evil one. You may be seated. Sunday, we were looking at the previous verses where Jesus said, you have also heard it said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a written notice of divorce. But I tell you, everyone who divorces his wife, except in the case of sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And we looked at this and looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Because Jesus is talking about two believers here. The only exception, and it's not a command, is divorce is allowed in the case of sexual immorality. Now, it's not commanded. If there are two believers, there can be repentance and forgiveness and restoration. And then Paul, in 1 Corinthians 7, takes up the situation in other situations. He says, beginning that, I tell you what the Lord says, a man that must not divorce his wife. But to the rest, I say, if someone is married to an unbeliever and the unbeliever is willing to stay married, then the believer should not be seeking the divorce. And it says, you make your spouse and your children holy. Now, that doesn't mean you save them. That means they see a daily reminder of Jesus Christ and the love and forgiveness of God to them. Otherwise, they wouldn't see that. But if the unbeliever chooses to leave, you're free to let him leave. Then he talks about a situation. What about divorce if it happened before you became a believer? And Paul says, whatever situation you became a believer in, then stay in that situation. Don't seek to undo the situation that you found yourself in. Go from that point on serving God. Now, some people have misunderstood what God's word says. And I remember I told you Sunday that I heard another seminary student say, well, yeah, I was counseling this couple. They became Christians and they'd been divorced. And I told them they need to divorce each other and go back to their first spouse. Well, Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4, tells you, do not do that. Matter of fact, that is what Jesus is quoting. It says, whoever divorces his wife must give her a written notice of divorce. If you look at chapter 19 of Matthew, Jesus explains a little bit more about this. Matthew chapter 19. And verse 4. Haven't you read that he who created them in the beginning made them male and female? He also said to them, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses command us to give divorce papers and to send her away? He told them, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because of the hardness of your heart, but it was not like that from the beginning. So Moses was given a command from God. A man can divorce his wife, but the alternative, the hardness of their heart, well, if I can't divorce her, I'll just kill her. So, because of the hardness of their heart, God allowed the marriage to be dissolved, and a marriage is dissolved by a divorce, just as death dissolves the marriage. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 says, a widower, a widow, or a divorced person is free to remarry another believer. They're not bound to their first spouse, but only to a believer. So, Scripture tells us, gives us the answer to a situation that used to be known as an unforgivable sin in churches. You didn't talk about divorce. I remember watching a movie called Time Changer, and it was a professor at a seminary from 1890 that got sent forward into time to 1990, and he was going, said, when he came back, he said, half the marriages end in divorce. He was shocked at that. Because it didn't used to be that way, because people were not taught what marriage was. Marriage is not based on feeling, it's based on commitment. It's a covenant relationship, because marriage shows a covenant relationship between Christ and his church. And that's described in Ephesians 5. And now we come to the next part. Again, you have heard that it was said to our ancestors, you must not break your oath, but you must keep your oaths to the Lord. What was going on in the time of Jesus was, my oath doesn't count unless I mention the Lord's name. Now, I remember another classic movie. Well, this is a classic movie, the Time Changer one. Sergeant York. If you've ever seen the movie, with Gary Cooper, very good movie. And he went and he was going to buy some land. And he had made an arrangement to pay a certain amount by a certain date. He went to the guy, said, I need a few extra days. Because what he was going to do was going to get him the rest of the money. He goes, okay, I'll do it. Ended up, the guy sold it to somebody else, even though he had promised Alvin York the extra days. And the guy says, did you get it in writing? Didn't count unless you got it in writing. Well, that's sort of the attitude that was going on here. The oath doesn't count unless I mention the Lord. It's like, you ever heard that thing? Well, I have my fingers crossed behind my back. If I cross my fingers, I don't really mean it. Or like the common phrase about a politician. How do you know a politician or a used car salesman is lying? Their lips are moving. But that's nothing new. The Roman orator, Cicero, said, truth is the highest thing a man may experience. Sadly, with most people, it is an infrequent experience. Daniel Webster wrote, there is nothing as powerful as truth, and often nothing as strange. A lot of people like to tell lies, and that even fits with Christians. We need to be speaking the truth. Now, is there a time for an oath? Scripture is full of situations with oaths. And in Hebrews 6, let's turn there for a moment. Hebrews chapter 6, we see where God made an oath to Abraham. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself, I will indeed bless you, and I will greatly multiply you. So, after waiting patiently, Abraham obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and for them a confirming oath ends any dispute, or every dispute, because God wanted to show his unchangeable purpose even more clearly to the heirs of the promise. He guaranteed it with an oath, so that through two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to seize the hope set before us. And back to our passage in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is confronting the situation with people making oaths that didn't really count because they didn't mention the Lord's name. That was what the rabbis taught. Now, if you don't mention the Lord's name or the Lord's temple, it doesn't really count. So Jesus addresses all their false oaths. He says, but I tell you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, because it is God's throne, or by earth, because it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black. But let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. And in Isaiah 66, verse 1, this is where Jesus is referencing that heaven is the throne of God and the earth is the footstool. And then James chapter 5, verse 12, he repeats what Jesus is saying. So in case you didn't get it right the first time, James reminds you. James chapter 5, verse 12. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment. God has a judgment for those that break their oaths. But why do we need to take an oath? Isn't our yes enough? Why would we have to swear if people didn't trust our yes without an oath? Well, there were consequences for falsely swearing. And it would be kind of neat if our court system had the same perjury laws. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 19. I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to give it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 16. Here's God's punishment that should be enacted on somebody that lies. Verse 16 of Deuteronomy 19. If a malicious witness testifies against someone accusing him of a crime, the two people in the dispute are to stand in the presence of the Lord before the priest and judges in authority at that time. The judges are to make a careful investigation. And if the witness turns out to be a liar who has falsely accused his brother, he must do to him as he intended to do to his brother. You must purge the evil from you. So the judgment for perjury that God gives is if you're lying in a case that would send somebody to jail, you get to go to jail for that amount of time. Or whatever the punishment was for the crime that you had lied against someone. You know, if our perjury penalties were in line with God, we would have a lot less perjury. But now we say, he just misspoke. No, it was a lie. We as Christians need to have our word accepted because we stand on the truth. Because God is a God of truth. We also need to limit what we say, even if it is truth. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning of verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. And then verse 29. No foul language should come from your mouth, but what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear? Well, it's just the truth I'm speaking. Well, we don't need to speak the truth unless it builds others up. Sometimes we try to spread gossip and just call it truth. I remember one of the first Sundays I was here, someone said, they were talking out in the parking lot. They called it. Now, this isn't gossip, it's the truth. If it doesn't build the other one up, it's gossip. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. Our conversation should be to build one or other up. We're to speak the truth in love. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. And verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self and its practices, and have put on the new self. You are to be renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. And then Ephesians chapter 4, back there, where we just were. I could have read the other verse while we were there, and I didn't. And verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From Him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. As we look back in our passage in Matthew 5, Jesus is speaking a message different than what the rabbis are teaching. They are saying there's exceptions to God's command. Now, there are times for oaths. Oaths are to be taken in certain proceedings when a covenant is made between individuals. And God takes the oath seriously. And that's why he says that we will come under punishment there in verse 37 and 5. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything more than this is from the evil one. And in James 5, 12. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment. We need to let our word be accepted because we are presenting it as the truth. Let no falsehood be found in us. Even we're in a society that says it's okay to lie. I remember people say, well, what if you're in a situation that you have to lie? God will never put us in a situation that we have to sin. Now, we can refuse to answer, but we don't have to lie. God wants us to be different than the world. Imagine somebody that you knew you could go to and would always tell you the truth. Always saying something that would help you. You might not like to hear it, but always something beneficial. And you know you can trust what they say. It would be quite refreshing. Jesus is telling the people 2,000 years ago, be different than the religious practices you see around you. Have a true relationship with God. Let your life, your words, and all that is in you be different. Next Sunday, or this coming Sunday, we're going to be talking about going the second mile. What does that mean? Do we go the third? What does it mean or you can look ahead. We're going to go there. But we are called to be different. We should not limit the love we share with others because people's eternal destination matters. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Lord, I thank you that we could be here to praise you, to study your word, to be reminded you called us to be different. Let the world see the difference in our lives and be drawn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.